That was Running on Empty by Jackson Browne, and it leads us into our next story. As one of Melbourne's best-known food writers, Rita Ehrlich has taken a particular interest in Melbourne's upcoming Formula One Grand Prix. And you can bet it's not about the different tyre compounds or the fuel management strategy to race the car until it is almost empty. Well, not quite. No, Rita is much more interested in the hospitality offering, and she speaks with Karina Black, General Manager Sales and Marketing for the Australian Grand Prix Corporation.
I'm sitting here with Karina Black, who's the General Manager, Sales, Commercial and Marketing of the Australian Grand Prix Corporation. On the ground floor of this building, there is the most fabulous racing car. Looks wonderful. And I want to talk to Karina about something that's not quite cars and racing. One of the things that struck me a couple of months ago, there was a launch of the food offerings that are going to happen at the Grand Prix in 2019. And the thing that really struck me was that someone said, we're not using the word catering. And I thought, catering's a perfectly good word. Everyone's used it for years. Tell me, and you helped to organise the event. You were responsible for organising it, in fact. Tell me why, what's wrong with catering and what you're choosing to call it instead?
Well, Rita, thank you. And first of all, thank you for having me here today. It's great to represent the Grand Prix. Look, yes, for all intents and purposes, catering is food, without a doubt. But we didn't feel the word catering was really representative of our journey and where we're going strategically, because we feel that what we represent at the Grand Prix in terms of our food offering is so much more than that. It is an immersive experience and it is part of the entertainment. And it is one of the things that people will take away when they leave the Grand Prix after a great day is they'll remember the food. So we like to refer to it as hospitality because it is the complete experience.
Now, that's really interesting because the usual wisdom or the past wisdom was that people who liked car racing didn't much care for food. But that's not true, is it?
Look, there are probably our avid fans that would still say that the primary reason for them coming along to the Grand Prix is all about the cars and the racing. But what we've found in recent years is that there is a new fan, an emerging fan, a growing fan that is really looking for the complete package. And we've been able to attract that audience through really raising the bar in our overall hospitality experience, and food is a key part of that. And I will say, and a particular focus area has been the Formula One Paddock Club, which is synonymous worldwide as the most premium hospitality experience. It was so important that we achieve, you know, the expectation of that audience that is actually experiencing that at many other Formula Ones. So when they come to Melbourne, we want to make sure that we are absolutely on par or better than the other events.
It seemed to me, and what you're saying reinforces that what the Grand Prix Corporation was doing was highlighting one of Melbourne's strengths. Everyone talks about Melbourne as a food city. So what's happening in hospitality at the Grand Prix is a way of showing off Melbourne. Was that the plan?
Absolutely. Melbourne is renowned now worldwide for the best food. And we are so lucky here in terms of the food offering that we have, the diversity of food, the innovation that's taking place. And so, you know, it's so important that we celebrate that. Here in Melbourne, it is an expectation that food be excellent. It can't be ordinary. And we find as well, you know, in terms of growing our retention and our likelihood to return, the food experience is so important. But it needs to be at a very, very high level here in Melbourne because of that culture around food.
Okay, Karina, who are the new hospitality providers? There are three of them.
We have three partners this year, and the reason we selected three was about creating really bespoke and unique experiences around our parkland. We build Australia's largest pop-up event, and so if you think of it, we have a number of, you know, small hotels going right around the circuit, our most premium being the Formula One Paddock Club. So it was important that we had hospitality partners that could support those different experiences around the circuit. So at the most premium, we undertook quite a competitive tender, and we appointed Atlantic Catering Group to run the Paddock Club and the areas immediately surrounding that. They had been retained. They had been with the Grand Prix since around 2014, so a long-term partner. And what they've demonstrated over the time is just such a commitment to innovation. They call themselves the black sheep because they don't do things in any sort of ordinary way. It's always extraordinary. So from their service staff to the actual food itself, they're constantly raising the bar and innovating the experience for the customer. So they were a great choice. The second was more of a boutique operator, but a very renowned Melbourne caterer, Food and Desire, and already a tenant of the park with the famous carousel.
That's right.
And many other venues serving some of the most discerning corporate customers around Melbourne and indeed Australia when they visit Melbourne. And they've created some incredible bespoke experiences for our customers in and around the circuit. And then the third organisation is nationally renowned, a company called Gemma. And they've really made their mark in motorsport catering, currently looking after the entire Supercars Championship. So they really understand the importance of catering to our fan, but at the same time are able to raise the bar and produce some very premium offerings as well.
I know the two Melbourne ones. I know the Atlantic Group and Food and Desire, and they do extraordinary things.
Yes.
They've got a handle on what makes an occasion special.
Correct.
And enabling the food to reflect the specialness of the occasion. You said there was a tender process.
Yes.
What were the criteria?
Really, it was about raising the bar. It was about the experience. It was much more than just food. It was, you know, from the servicing, you know, we've set some pretty high benchmarks and KPIs around what we want to achieve for our customers. So that was well and truly communicated throughout the process. We were looking for innovation. We were looking for ways to do things differently. You know, and we had one of our biggest partners, Rolex, actually say, when you come along to, you know, an event, you don't necessarily expect to get restaurant quality food. But we said, no, we actually want to deliver that. So very high levels of standard, and also the practical elements, the ability to produce on a volume scale, because, you know, we will have over 26, 27,000 individual attendees partaking in our hospitality products.
Which is a really big call
it's
for anyone.
It's a big number.
Tell me, was there a focus on providing local Victorian food?
Yes, most definitely. It's very important. Again, back to the food point about Victoria, we're so lucky here with the quality of our produce here in Melbourne and throughout regional Victoria. And so all of our caterers put a high weighting or high ratio on providing Victorian produce.
And does that include wine and
yes,
beer?
Yes, it does. It does.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Beer is an international. We work with Heineken through our global contract. But at our smaller MotoGP event, we actually work with Lion and we pour Furphy. So depending on, you know, the two events and the portfolio, but where possible, we always give preference to Victorian producers.
That's great, because that means that you really are saying, this is Melbourne, this is Victoria,
yes,
this is the best we've got.
It absolutely is, yes.
At every level.
Yes, indeed.
So what you've done is to incorporate current food values, current thinking about food, into hospitality packages. Now, does any other Grand Prix do that?
Look, I think they do. I think, you know, in every Grand Prix around the world, it's such a global event and so many different countries. So I do think each Grand Prix does try to align to, you know, the food experience of that country or create some sort of theming around it. But I think Melbourne, and this has actually been quoted by Chase Carey, who is, you know, the CEO and at the helm of Formula One, is that Melbourne does it better than anybody else. So we're really raising the bar for the rest of the world.
How wonderful. It's also amazing for me that Melbourne's weather is notoriously bad, notoriously variable, and we've got three big outdoor sporting events.
Yes.
We've got the Spring Racing Carnival, we've got the tennis, and we've got the Grand Prix.
Yes.
So it's about Victorians saying, well, we're used to it, we'll get on with it.
Yeah, it always amazes me, the resilience of Victorians. I think we have so many choices for entertainment, and we do love to get out and about. So come what may, rain, hail or shine, I mean, every event has experienced its challenges. But what we find is people will come, you know, regardless, because they really love getting behind, you know, that Melbourne event culture.
That's right. Yes. You were saying too that with every Grand Prix, you're finding that new people come and they become fans.
They do. We find we've been targeting in recent times, particularly women, families, and people that probably weren't necessarily going to come to our event just for the motorsport. And what we're finding is the rate of return is very, very high. Once we can get people through the gates and experiencing the event, they absolutely love it. And they really, it demystifies everything that, you know, what is perceived of about it just being a motorsport event, because it becomes, you know, this just incredible day of non-stop entertainment. And again, the food, the wine, the whole experience, the socialising, the ability to network, it all comes into play. So they have a fantastic day.
Well, not only Victorians think highly of the Melbourne Grand Prix. You've just picked up a number of significant awards. Can you tell? Can you tell us about those?
We're very excited to say that overnight, in fact, so it's very recent news, and for the second year in a row, we have received a wonderful accolade, or set of accolades. In fact, three awards with the Asian Sport Awards. We won gold for the best international sporting event of the year, and that's in our criteria of all major international events across Asia Pacific, best integrated marketing campaign for a sports event, and best live experience as actually voted by the fans, which is probably the most exciting award.
That's
of all.
That's a thrilling award to have.
Yes, because when it's coming from the fans, we really appreciate. We know we're doing something right.
Absolutely. But I'd like you to let us in on a secret, Corina. What's your favourite food? Of the food that's going to be offered.
Yes.
What do you have any favourites?
I have got a favourite. I mean, look, you can't live in Melbourne and not love Italian food. It's probably my favourite. But most recently, I love one of the trends that we're seeing and certainly presenting in our hospitality offerings is the grazing style, where you have little sharing plates that come all day long. So, you know, you never feel overwhelmed by a meal, but you're getting to taste so many things. So it's become my sort of go-to now when I dine out is the sharing experience, because it's just so much more social, and it allows you to mix and mingle
and to keep talking.
Yes, and rather than being, you know, absolutely sitting at a dining table. That's experience, right. and having your entree, main, and dessert.
And the lovely thing about grazing and platters coming and going is that sense of, I'm not really, oh, that looks good, maybe I am hungry.
Yes. And it's remarkable how much you do end up eating across a day, but it never feels uncomfortable.
That's right.
And it's just so social and lovely.
And it's also a very, very good thing when people are drinking.
Yes.
So that they're not eating, they finish eating and they continue drinking.
That's right.
They're eating all the time they're drinking.
That's absolutely right.
And in terms of responsible service of alcohol, that's very, very important,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. We have wonderful definitions for our food. Obviously we start with coffee and pastries in the morning, and then we move to sort of more the lunch items, the more substantial items. But as the afternoon goes on, the definition is soak food, because it literally is that opportunity to enjoy a few wines, but making sure that the food is keeping pace and satisfying, you know, so that, yes, it is a responsible experience.
Yes, certainly food and big events go well together. That was Rita Ehrlich speaking with Karina Black on the hospitality offerings at next month's Australian Formula One Grand Prix.